My idea of holidays.
We'll be bright both day and night when the Greenland lads come home, and our ship full up with oil, my lads, and money to our name. And we'll make the cradles for to rock and the blankets for to tear, and every lass in Peterhead sing hush-a-bye, my dear. And it's cheer up, my lads, let your hearts never fail, for the bonny ship, the Diamond, goes a-hunting for the whale. And it's cheer up, my lads, let your hearts never fail, for the bonny ship, the Diamond, goes a-hunting for the whale.
Well, hello again there, folks. So I'm popped down to Durham Cathedral for the day, and I'm doing the cathedral walk. And I'm heading up to the Durham Cathedral itself along the river, which you can probably hear in the background. And I've just seen this slogan here. So this is a few days after the we've had a lot of unrest, I'll say, in Britain. And you come across this sort of generic peace slogan, for peace for the people, by the people, and you can't help think, but which people? Is there just one generic people? What if there isn't? What if there's more than one people? What if people are different? What if people have different interests? And you see it here in Durham Cathedral on a day like this. It's a nice summer's day, and you see the people wandering around the place because it's very touristy, and you think the only way to make one people is to reduce everything to tourism, reduce everybody to just this sort of consumer herd that you see wandering around. But the problem is, like, at the reason everything is here, the reason everyone's here, is precisely because there's more significance to this place than that. Because it was rooted to our people, not just this generic mass blob. And you look at that, we're becoming a kind of totalitarian state in Britain as I speak, as I'm not part of all the trouble. I've never been to any protests. I'm just a blogger. But you can see it everywhere you look. Now, what happens when people reject being just part of the blob? You know, what happens when people aspire to something a little bit more than just to become this sort of vanilla gloop, which is implied in this slogan here, you know? Let's see what's up ahead. Isn't that absolutely beautiful? You've got Durham Cathedral there, the spire, and then you've got people on canoes, you've got an old water mill, you've got an ancient bridge up ahead. And this is the acceptable face of English identity. This is the one that they can put on postcards and sell to people in Japan. This is the one where everything is frozen in around about 1700 or 1800, and it's all very comfortable, it's all very twee, it's inoffensive, and it kind of oozes a kind of upper class sophistication and a sort of genteel Edwardian era, wind in the willows, sort of aura to it all. And so this is acceptable to people because it doesn't have any claws or teeth on it. But it takes a number of things for granted. It takes the Englishness for granted. But, you know, when I was on my way down here, I passed straight past Hartlepool and Sunderland, where there was unrest and riots. And there you see the other bit. There you see the opposite of this. And it's not far away. It's only 10 or 15 miles up the road. But there you see the English identity, which has to be put out of sight. Like in the medieval times, if you had somebody who was a bit like a retarded relative or something like that, and you'd lock them in a cellar. But then every now and then, like, they break through the cellar and they remind the world that they're there. And everybody wishes that this was all there was to English identity and not the other stuff. not the ones who are actually living and breathing and are not just statues and monuments to a former greatness. There's a sort of afterglow of a people there, and it's an embarrassment to everybody concerned. They want you to think of this is genteel, this is presentable England, not that nasty stuff. I wish we had the spirit in us that built this. The drive and the ambition. I wish we had it now. But what we do have instead is a government that seems to think that the wall as it was originally built is too dangerous. This goes all this construction fence goes all the way along, and I don't see any reason for it at all. There's nothing being built. It's just to keep the masses away from the edge. And I actually suspect that when the church was more dominant, you wouldn't have even had those black rails on the main wall either. But what we've got now is the government telling you, and you don't have the church dictating how you should live your life and what's safe and what's not. We've got the government, and you can see that it's a lot less pleasant and it's a lot more restrictive. And this ties in exactly to what's been going on in England over the last week or two. So you can see through the government's health and safety construction cage to keep everybody safe from hard realities, which is what it is. You can see that behind it flies an English flag. And I think that's interesting because you're here in Durham, there's tourists everywhere. It's a beautiful place. It's ancient, it's got spiritual significance, historic significance. Aesthetically, it's a very classy, it's literally a postcard. It's beautiful. And it seems curious that here it's allowed to fly the English flag, whereas in other places it's far right, it's the thuggish, it's football fans and it's hooligans, and it's as if here that kind of mentality is so distant that it's safe once again to fly the English flag. If they disavow all of that, we're so far removed from the council estates where cop cars get burned out and where there's ethnic tensions and where there's all of the trouble that we've seen in recent times, very recently, and the police state that's being brought in to quell it all. Like, it's weird because you think, well, okay, so even here in Durham, what does the English flag represent? Surely it's identity. Surely, and they'll say, well, yeah, but it represents rowing boats and water mills and leafy ancient walls and beautiful cathedrals and scenery. That's safe. But only because it's been so disassociated with people, with the actual English people who exist. Well, they exist still here, but also on these council estates. You know, they exist above the vape shops and the less scenic locales. And this is their identity as well, and it cannot be, you can't just sever that connection. That flag over there and all of this, it represents all of the things this government and the ruling class absolutely despise. And I cannot help but notice the poetry of it being behind this government health and safety cage here to keep everybody safe and away from the edge. Don't you're not allowed to have agency. Don't go and too near the edges. Don't crawl too close to that flag over there because you might fall off. So we're going to have this cage there. Your identity will be caged and made safe for the tourists, so that they can just go around and buy fancy coffees and go to little quaint Georgian pubs or Tudor age pubs with the black wooden painted on and all of this kind of thing. But you'd, just as long as the plebs are kept out, just as long as the actual blood and guts of it that remains of the identity is contained and kept severed from the picturesque and the quaint and the beautiful, we can't have a direct line from one to the other. England as an abstract ideal and a tourist spot must at all costs be kept away from, you know, Baz and Dave and all of these rowdy people who are out there as a kind of afterthought to it all, when in my view they should be connected and bound to it in a way they are. You know, in a way, this is what they're trying to say. This is we exist. We have an identity. We need to have our voices heard. But this represents something completely different, in my view. People, nobody feels threatened by that flag, which is nobody feels threatened or intimidated by Durham Cathedral. They say it is this kind of architectural wonder that inspires awe, which itself doesn't really fit in with the materialist paradigm of the day. Why do they? Why isn't it, if the English are just, if we're all just people, you know, if there is just this generic mass and a building is just a building and people are just a building, like, isn't it just a pile of rocks with this reductionist? Of course it isn't. Of course they understand it. It's this whole way of looking at the world, just, it's so full of paradoxes. It's so full of cages and fences, you know. To keep you away from the edge, to keep you away, to keep you safe from thinking too much about it all. Remember, folks, we've always been such a welcoming people who loved outsiders. I suppose we'll have to be careful about being cynical. I mean, I went in there just before and it's just absolutely beautiful. It is, there's no taking away from it. It doesn't matter how much, you know, neoliberal kitsch or how much it's been kitschified and it's a sort of the little trinkets that they're selling inside. When you go into the main hall, it's wonderful. But it's also, I think, false to think that Durham Cathedral is this, like, monolithic representation of English identity. It isn't. You know, Henry VIII wreaked havoc with the Reformation on Durham Cathedral, as well as many others. And it kind of changes it, because you think it is a living story. And it's still here, and we're still here. And it's like there's been trouble before on these islands, in this land, and there's going to be trouble again now. We didn't really go to sleep, you know. There's a kind of toxic idea that you're at the end of history and not still in it.
The Diamond is a ship, my lads, for the Davis Strait we're bound. The key it is all garnished, shared with bonny lasses round. Captain Thompson gives the order to sail the ocean wide, where the sun it never sets, my lads, nor darkness dims the sky. For it's cheer up, my lads, let your hearts never fail, for the bonny ship, the Diamond, goes a-hunting for the whale.
Well, folks, I'm concluding this little mini tour of the historic northeast up at Hadrian's Wall in this spectacular, rugged, empty terrain, which I love. I don't go in for foreign holidays. I prefer to stay around about the north. I like Northern Ireland, I like Northumberland, I like Scotland. And these, I'm not one for foreign holidays. In the end, you know, when you add it up, I've been to Bamburgh Castle, I've been to Durham Cathedral, I've been to the Farne Islands, and now I'm at Hadrian's Wall and I'm about to get absolutely drenched with rain. And what are the conclusions that we can come when we put it into the context of upheaval in England itself. And I keep reminding myself, every time I see a castle, every time I see a fortification, every time I see a monument to Viking raids at Lindisfarne, the giant sort of Bamburgh Castle and the Norman buildings there to dominate and subjugate the locals. And then you remember, like, the talking points today about how we've always been this blissful multicultural melting pot. And you think, what utter shite. And the reason, like, the history of these islands is one of war and bloodshed and ethnic strife, religious strife. You know, you can go back to Henry VIII, the Reformation, Durham Cathedral. But when we achieved a kind of ethnogenesis, it was sort of calmed itself down and it was put away. And now you see that that's been completely destroyed as a matter of policy, deliberately and based on lies. And they're going to turn around and they're going to look at this history of castles and war and domination. And they're going to say, and raids. And then they're going to say, well, this is just the way we've always rocked this way. And it's this in this perverse way. It's almost a kind of to say, well, because they're doing it in the name of peace. They're doing it in the name of the one humanity blurb that we saw in Durham Cathedral. And in the end of the day, the opposite is true. What they've done is opened the gates to more. They've allowed history to re-enter, bloody history, to re-enter in the name of love and peace. And, of course, on a mountain of lies. And we're beginning to see it now return. They've brought back identity. They've brought back the hard times through this wishful thinking. When we did achieve an ethnogenesis and it was one tribe on the land, yeah, you could say it was peaceful. But it was precisely because we'd overcome so much horror and bloodshed, and the land is absolutely scarred with military fortifications. And I'm standing right on the most famous of them all right now. So the men who built that wall understood a few things about human nature that the average liberal doesn't and can't. They were right to be scared of what was on the wall. They were right to be scared of the people who dwelled beyond the wall, just as the Normans were right to build massive castles because they feared that the Anglo-Saxon peasants would murder them in the beds. They all understood something about human nature, which now we seem to have forgotten. And the funniest thing is about the nation of Immigrants Lane is that the people who actually came here thought more like the far right and more like those unruly peasants today than it ever was. In fact, it's almost as if it's all repeating itself all over again. But the bloodshed and the misery will be on their heads and not ours.
The Diamond is a ship, my lads, for the Davis Strait we're bound. The key it is all garnished with bonny lasses round. Captain Thompson gives the order to sail the ocean wide. Where the sun it never sets, my lads, nor darkness dims the sky. For it's cheer up, my lads, let your hearts never fail. For the bonny ship, the Diamond, goes a-hunting for the whale.